Howdy. So, I feel like I'm going to do something different this episode. I don't really know how it's going to go. It's kind of unplanned, unexpected as per usual. But I'm going to Wells Gray. I'm actually in Wells Gray right now. I am about 10 minutes away from my campsite, but I decided I just wanted to pull off and just take a little adventure, side quest. I found this beautiful river. It's so beautiful. And I just kind of kept, it's like not a huge walk, it's just a little pullover area, but I kept walking. There's like a little tiny waterfall. It's so gorgeous, especially in the hot heat. There's like so many little swimming holes. No one's here either, which is why it's amazing, but that's not the reason why it's amazing. It just feels good to not be surrounded by a million people at a really gorgeous location. So I've been wanting to come to Wells Gray for a couple years now. Back when COVID was really hitting everybody, 2020, I started going out and chasing waterfalls a lot more, and it has been on my bucket list to check off because this is the magical land of waterfalls. And man, I can feel the magic here. I am looking at the rocks in this riverbed and they're just so shiny and sparkly. I'm like, damn, let that silica show off. It is beautiful. I think I'm dehydrated too because everything looks like it's and I'm not on any drugs, so this is gonna start it off, and my plan is, well, whatever plan I have is that wherever I go, or at least once a day at the end of the day, if anything, kind of just touch base what happened during the day, and then when I'm done this adventure, I'll do what I normally do and kind of recap it. I don't know. It's different. I like to do different things. So, I hope you all enjoy the episode. And I'm going to chill out for a minute. And then I'm going to go find Liz. Because Liz and Darcy are camping with me this weekend. Okay. Let's move along. It's going to be a good time. It's quite loud, so I don't really know if you can hear me, but we're gonna try this. I'm by the first little bit of a waterfall at this campsite that I'm at. Super fucking cool that there's literally waterfalls in the campsite. The one I'm closest to is called Osprey Falls, and it reminds me of a very low-key Wapta Falls, and I guess sort of, well, it doesn't even compare to Niagara Falls, which I haven't seen, so I can't, no comment on that, but it's basically sunrise. I guess it rose about like half hour ago. It's what, 8 o'clock right now? Yeah, we got here and settled, and we went for a walk, and we found out that the waterfalls are down here, and so I was like, I'm gonna come down here for sunrise and take a picture and wake up at 5 in the morning, which I didn't do. I woke up at 6 and I did an hour of stretching, and then I decided to come down here, and I'm just very happy. Just very, very happy. And the campsite says it's full, except it seems quite chill. There are these people, this family that were walking by yesterday as we were on our way to check out the falls, and so there's this cabin or like classroom type thing, and I guess they have free activities, which I'm hella taking advantage of. So on Saturday and Sunday, which I guess today is Saturday, at 6, there's like a workshop on geology and like bears and stuff. And then also today at 1 o'clock there's a group hike to Helmiken Falls, and then at 2 o'clock there's another nature trail, and you get to learn about like medicinal herbs and Yeah, which I think is pretty cool. So I'm going to try and do that one. I think Liz, Darcy, and I are going to do Helmickan Falls at a different time because I don't want to be rushed for that. But anyway, we were looking at that because they have that written outside of that little cabin classroom. And this family came up to us and they were like, well, their dog came up, and then we didn't know they were there until the lady said sorry, and we were like, oh, we'll get out of the way so you can read too. She's like, oh no, the dog just comes up, and we're like, oh, it's okay. Anyway, she was saying how they were here same weekend, like 10, 12 years ago, and it was just them. And I was like, wow, could you imagine having this whole place to yourself? I mean, it's great that people are utilizing it now, but damn, I want to be that person. I want to find a place and just have it all to myself like that, like a place that nobody knows, so I can name it, you know? It's the kind of explorer I am, and I want to be. One day I'll have a waterfall named after me. Asia Falls. That sounds kind of cool. Except it kind of sounds like I fell and I died or something. Anyway, I don't really know what the rest of the plan is today, but I'm just grateful to be here and I'm happy. I feel like maybe I'm going to pop a little shroomies today, get real connected. This fellow, I'm like hiding behind something. I decided to wander off, which isn't necessarily the best idea when you're by yourself sometimes, but I don't give a fuck and I did it anyway. So I like climbed around this crevice. There's a sweet little spot over here just because I wanted a different angle of this waterfall from the other pictures everybody keeps taking. And at first it's like, oh shit, I'm gonna have to go higher. And then I was like, oh, what if I just wander over here? And you know what? Doesn't hurt to change the perspective, even if it's a little bit. Even if it's by 5 feet. Remember that. That applies to everything. Yeah. So I'll update y'all on what happens next. But yeah, last night, I was walking on, and I actually went to the upper level of the one fall. It was just super fucking cool. I'm like, I'm on the falls. And then if you keep walking, there's like a cafe at the very end and a boat launch where you can see, like, it's the upper half of the other fall. It doesn't make any sense because you can't see it. And me explaining how this looks isn't going to help anybody, but there's a bit of a waterfall on the right hand. And then if you look further out, there's like a cascade, like a big cascade. Imagine Niagara Falls, like I said, except it's like 10 times lower, smaller. Anyway, if you keep walking up that way by the cafe and boat launch, you can go swimming and you can like sit there, obviously, and just look out. But you can see the rest of the lake, and then you can see where it's going down. We were watching some of the paddle boarders and the kayakers. We're like, are they going to go off of that? They didn't, but part of me was hoping they would. That would have been an interesting sight. But I'm glad that they didn't because nobody got hurt. Also, while we were walking, I don't know what it is about children, but I feel like compliments from children are by far the best compliments you can receive. They're just so genuine and innocent. I love them. This little girl, they were biking, her family was biking, and we had just finished our first walk, and she's like looking at me. She's like, I like your hat, because I have a rubber ducky bucket hat. And I was like, thank you. And she had the cutest little unicorn dress on. I was like, I like your dress. And she was like, oh, thank you. And she was so blushy. I'm like, ah, that was so cute and wholesome. And then it happened again while we were at the boat launch. And this other girl, well, and she was probably a little bit older. Probably like, I don't know, they're probably 13. Anyway, they were playing in the water. And then I came over and I found a patch of clay, and so I was trying to dig it up. Because I'm a child. And I had it all over my hands, and I was like, to Liz. And I was like, I'm going to go put my handprint on rocks. So that's what I started doing. And then she comes out of the water, or one of them comes out of the water, and she's like, excuse me, what are you doing? And I look at her, and I'm like, I'm playing with clay. She's like, I love it. And then she's like, I love your shirt, by the way. I was wearing my my mushroom shirt. My trippy mushroom shirt. And I was like, thank you. I don't know. It just feels good coming from children in the non-creepiest way possible. It just feels wholesome and humble. Also, I didn't think she was going to do it, but I asked Liz if she had a snorkeling set that she should bring it, and so she did. And she opened it. I'm fucking so stoked about it. She's like, is the water cold? I'm like, I mean, it's cold. And she brings it out. She's like, is it too cold for this? I'm like, I don't care how cold it is. I'll put my face in it for a snorkel set. Just so I can look at the rocks. Except the water here is actually quite clear. I guess that's why they call it clear water. Because that's where I am. Clear water. Clear water, Wells Gray. Anyway, I'm going to go wander off again. And, I mean, this is going to flow right into the next segment. So I guess, yeah. I'll see you when we carry on. Carry on. You guys, I'm at Helmiken Falls, and it is... I was reading the sign, and it was like 1.2 billion years old of rocks, and it was formed because of an underwater volcano that erupted underneath a glacier. Man, I'm so pumped. Just being here makes me so pumped for Iceland, because this is something I will see there. I feel like I'm already there. And I'm so excited. You guys have to come here and experience the beauty for yourselves, because it is magnificent to look at. I just want to go stand underneath it and feel the power. Oh, it's glorious. Okay, so we've been like busy and exhausted that I haven't even really gotten a chance to share anything. It is now Sunday? Yeah, I think it's Sunday. So yesterday, I'm pretty sure there was a point in time where I was talking about Helmiken Falls. And then after that, I stopped. So after we saw the waterfall and we were walking through the gorges, which were gorgeous. I know, it was a terrible joke. Nobody else laughed either. It was just too bolder of a joke. Oh, that one was so bad. I had, like, chips stuck in my teeth. Anyway. After we, like, did a bit of a trail, we came back to my car and we had some lunch, and then we went out to Dawson's Creek, but that's not right. Dawson Falls, which are underneath this bridge, but it's so cool. There's like these giant rocks and there's a cave on the other side of the bridge. which, after lying on the rocks and flailing around like a mermaid, of course I had to go do that too. So I walked the other way and crossed under the bridge and went and threw myself into this cave. And then there was another waterfall on that side too, so I got real close and personal with that. It was fun. And then, or maybe we had lunch after that. Well, we had second lunch. We came back. We came back to the campground. We had second lunch. And then we, so they, I did say how there's like these things on the nature board or nature house. It's called the nature house. And I said it was like an outdoor classroom or something. And we were going to go on this hike and learn about medicinal plants. But that never ended up happening. We got here and then we left too late. We were like, oh, we'll see them on the way. And we did the whole trail, but we never saw anybody. However, we did find these docks and they were really nice. And the water was surprisingly like really warm yesterday. And so we were like, oh, we should totally come back here and go for a swim, because we didn't have our swimming stuff. We just were hiking in our hiking gear. So we chilled there for like, I don't know, half hour, 40 minutes, until we decided that we had a rest and that we should turn around and come back. And so then we hiked back. So all together it was like a 5 kilometer, 6 kilometer hike. And we came back, rested for a minute, and then I believe, like, we hung out at camp, ate some food. We had some chili for dinner last night, and it was very good. And Liz made this like blueberry strawberry crumble, and it was delicious. And then we decided we were gonna walk down to the beach, like the picnic area that they have. They have little beaches, and we were kind of where the boat launches and the cafe. And that was Liz's compromise for not swimming earlier, except it was extremely cold by the time we got down there. So I lied on the beach and I read my cloud book, and Liz kind of just stood and splashed around in the shallow part of the water, and Darcy, I think, went to go join her. And then after being there for like a good amount of time, these guys come down and they start walking over into like the swamp area. And then we realize they're walking over into the, what are they called? Rapids. And they started to do some fly fishing, which was really cool. Except there was a bunch of fish jumping in the open area where we were. But as we were leaving, I watched like a whole bunch of them jump out and around where those guys were. It was pretty cool to watch. Yeah, after that, we came back to camp and then we played some Dutch Blitz, which I won, which is crazy. I never win. When I play against Liz and Megan, I'm always the loser. Like, I'm so bad at it. And I played with Liz and Darcy and I beat them. And I was like, yes, I'm going to take this in because it never happens. Or I'm getting better. I don't know. But yeah, we did that for like an hour, hour and a half, maybe. And then we decided we were going to go to bed. It was sleepy time. And the stars were so nice. I'm borrowing this mat because I did have one, but it sucked and got rid of it and trying to get a new one. But I asked to borrow one from my temporary roommate and he lent me it, and it's pretty good. But it's like, it's the exact size I am, and I like to roll around in my sleep. So if I roll over, it's just like on the ground, face planting. It hurts. And I have my tarp half on because I'm like, I don't know if it's going to rain or not. The weather said it would. a little bit, but it's also 35 degrees and hella smoky out here, so who knows? Never know what the weather and what to believe in the Okanagan. Well, I don't even know if this is part of the Okanagan anymore, but anyway, and then we woke up today and, well, we had some breakfast. I didn't wake up as early. I slept in and I woke up to a squirrel chattering away and then fell back asleep. And then this blue jay was making some noise and I eventually woke up from that. And we all got up, ate our breakfast, and then we decided we were going to go do this hike. And we went to, where did we go? We did the trail to this place called Dragon's Tongue, which also had a waterfall right beside it. So we, of course, went and checked that out, Stick to Falls. And it was so pretty. Like, I don't even know how to describe it. It was coming out of, like, these caves, but it was an open cave. There's actually a part where you can go to the top of it, and there's, like, this little island I found and plopped myself on. And you could see the top cave entrance down into the pool. It was so cool. And then it goes downstream to this river. I turned the bend and climbed on this tree. And to get a picture of the middle of the creek. But then you turn around and there's this giant rock wall. And it like kind of curves in a little bit. It makes like this bowl. And it feels and looks surreal. Like just thinking about it, how old those rocks are. And just like how long these things have been here for. It's crazy. We went to, well, after that, we climbed up to the Osprey Waterfall viewpoint up this steep as fuck hill. It reminded me of Della Falls, and I had flashbacks and thought I was gonna die, but it didn't die. Also, my leg is in extreme pain. Well, not an extreme pain. I'd be crying right now if that was true. There's a family. Right, oh my god, there's so many of them. They're all riding bikes, and they've got their kids and their dogs, and they're stirring up the campsites, I guess. That was cute. We climbed up this steep-ass hill, and yeah. So my leg is hurting. Like, the muscles have been kind of tight, and I've been stretching every day, and I'm really proud of myself for it, but I don't know. I guess all the hiking from yesterday and then today, it's just like I can't walk anymore. So I'm at the camp and Liz wanted to go look at the waterfalls one last time. I'm going to try and get up early and go take a look at them in the AM, but we'll see what happens. We're going to try and get out of here early so we can go hit the last bit of waterfalls because they have a longer drive than I do. And, yeah, just hit them all out on the way back. So yeah, we climbed this dirt hill. We all nearly died. It was hot out. And made it to the top. Followed the trail down because it said it was a loop. But we took the wrong way. And it was going to take us either to somewhere we really didn't know where it was going to end up. And we were tired and exhausted already. And ready for some food. Or it was going to take us up to this other trail that would have been like 14 kilometers. And we were also not ready for that. We eventually found another way down this steep hill. Thank goodness. Because I would have slid and probably like somehow executed myself. So, bless. And then we finished that hike. We were on our way back to camp and crossing the bridge over Falls Creek, and there was a bunch of kayakers underneath the bridge and they were going down the waterfall, so we stood over and watched them. It was really cool. And then we made our way back to camp, so we got our stuff together and then we went back to the dock we found yesterday. I can hear the family with their like bikes again on the road. Yeah, we went to the docks again. And okay, so Liz brought flippers and a scuba diving set, which I think I might have mentioned earlier. I was so stoked to try it out. And so we did that. Went to the water, had a good swim. Man, flippers make it so much easier. I don't like being at all very near the dark water. Deep water, if I can't see it, it stresses me out. I was really hoping to have my life jacket, but I went and had like a bit of a smoke, and then I came back, like some weed, came back, and then we were leaving. Everybody was ready in the car, and I was like, oh, okay. So I forgot everything I was gonna bring, which was, well, I brought my towels and the water, which were the important things, but I was gonna bring a book, and I was gonna bring, oh, there was another thing I was gonna bring, I forgot what it was. Oh, the life jacket, so I could just float. I didn't want to put any effort into it, but I forgot that. Anyway, it worked out. Put the flippers on, put the snorkel on, went for a swim, started sketching myself out, and took the goggles off. There wasn't any cool rocks to look at. It was just like sand and stress. Darcy got in, and he said it was the second time, like, getting into a big body of water like that, from a pool. So that's really exciting. Proud of him for that. He's been learning to swim. He didn't grow up knowing how to swim because his mom and his brother are deathly afraid of water, as I've learned. And yeah, that was a couple hours ago. And then we came back from after being there for like a good hour or two. And then we all came back. I smoked the rest of my joint. Actually, I didn't smoke anything before. I just had to go to the bathroom. Yeah, Liz and Darcy had a nap. I threw myself into the hammock, played some tunes, tried to juggle in the hammock. It didn't work out. I eventually lost all my balls. And then at about 6 o'clock, we all kind of got back up and into a groove. Made some kebabs for dinner and some salad. It was really, really good. And had a drink. And then, yeah, here we are. I decided I was going to stay because I cannot walk and just trying to stretch myself out. I just had like a super big chip phase or like craving. So I just went and opened a bag of chips and nearly ate the entire thing. Am I proud of myself? No. But am I satisfied? Yes. And now I'm just waiting for Liz and Darcy to come back so we can play a couple rounds of Cards Against Humanity, and then go to bed, and pack all our stuff up, and get the fuck out of here tomorrow. I can't believe it's basically the end of the weekend. That went by real fast. But, alas, we are not done. We still have tomorrow. So, I will carry on when I carry on. Which will be in like 5 seconds. Oh, excuse me. We just got back from our morning hike. We like literally woke up, threw everything in the car, and jetted out of here. Or out of our campsite anyway. And then got to Mule Falls and started hiking it. And so it was really epic. It's like another gorge, waterfall plateauing into a gorge, except there's like, so there's a cave also behind it. It kind of looks like Helmickan Falls, but a littler version of it. Except we were able to walk behind it. And it was so fucking cool. I had a good time. I was the only one who went behind it, because I'm not lame. But yeah, it was really cool. Really fun. I had one of the most scenic pees I think I've had to date. Because I peed in the cave behind a waterfall. And then we did some hiking back up. And it wasn't super, super steep, but it was steep enough. I'm like, fuck, I hope my leg doesn't give out. I'm very, like, happy how my legs have been holding up. It doesn't hurt too much. So I'm going to go find a outhouse, which I see one right now. And I'm going to go take a poop. And then I'm going to go and find the next waterfall. Liz and Darcy left. They wanted to beat traffic. And I'm not in a rush to go home. And we'll see what happens. We'll see how hot it gets. That's really the determining factor here. I don't know what time it is. It's 9:48. And we left at like, what, 7-ish? So, we'll see. Onwards we go. I'm currently on a trail that I'm not 100% sure where it leads to. I just pulled over and there was another waterfall to look at, so I was like, fuck it, I might as well, I'm here. And I pulled over to look at Spahat Falls, which is another waterfall coming out of a gorge, coming into a gorge. And it was... There's so many little chipmunks and squirrels. I just ran into a bunny and it scared the shit out of me. But it was carved. So there's like these three boards. I took pictures of them and I read them. But so the chapter of how this became what it is happened 500,000 years ago when a volcano erupted. And layers and layers and layers of lava flowed out and created the gorge. And then 20,000 years ago, when we had an ice age, it was formed with glaciers. And there are boulders and rocks that had come from very far distances that have also shaped this canyon. And then right now, it is under the construction of water. And so where the waterfall is coming out, it's where lava used to flow out and where an ice glacier was once frozen there. And it's just so fucking cool. And the rock columns, my God. It's so insane. And it's kind of smoky out where I am, which sucks. But at the same time, it kind of gives it that feel. It kind of gives the ambiance presence of what maybe it would have been like. Obviously it would have been 10 times worse, but so freaking cool. It gives you an idea of what life might have been like. Like, I'm standing on lava. Hard ass lava. It's so fucking wild. And I got the whole place to myself for probably like about 10 minutes till family started. Now I'm on this trail. No one's here, but yeah, it's silent. It's beautiful. This place is magical. And you know, I have never really liked, I don't know what this area is technically called. Like, I like the Okanagan, but then I don't like it. And I'm not a huge fan of Kamloops. But being over here, it's so interesting, and I've never looked up how or why the Okanagan or how Kamloops became a thing, but going through these different waterfalls and adventures, I've gained a whole new perspective and appreciation for the land that I call home. Not that I didn't appreciate it before, it's dry, it's gross, it's not my favorite environment. The Kamloops area anyway. But I understand now, and it's just like, that's so cool. I had no idea this was like, you know, the one place that I love to go is Layer Cake Mountain, and it was also formed by volcanic activity, and it just never really occurred to me. I never really thought about it, but it's just, that's amazing. Do you ever just like stand and think about, you know, I'm standing on top of a lava rock that was probably formed like a billion years ago. Does anybody else do that and take a second? Because it just blows my fucking mind. Okay, I really don't know where I'm going, and I'm by myself, and I don't have any bear spray, so I should turn around. We'll see if I make it out of this alive, though. Okay, so I made it out. I'm alive. I didn't get attacked by a bear or anything. And I made it out of Wells Gray. And it was pretty magical, to say the least. I think I mentioned it before, but I've wanted to visit for a couple years now. And I can finally say I've crossed that off of my list of parks to visit and waterfalls to see. I had so much fun yesterday at Mule Falls and running underneath the waterfall. Was that yesterday? It was yesterday. Jesus. It was so good. I don't know if I said anything about Mule Falls now. I'm going to pause this and see. Yeah, okay. Never mind, I did. Yeah. It was a really good time. I'm glad I did it. It's a very magical, special place. I can't wait to go back and explore more of the trails. Because there are 39... There's at least 39 or more waterfalls in the park, and a good handful of them have been named, but the rest of them are unnamed, and they're not really marked anywhere, and I would like to go back and explore more. However, I did bask in some relaxing this explorating trip. Explorating? Exploring. English, please. I got home, and I feel disoriented from life. You know when you leave for a vacation, it's an escape sometimes. You just need to not be in your everyday life and to just, you need to get the fuck out. Yeah, sometimes I really got to disconnect to connect. I didn't have any service, nothing. As immediately as I was cut off, I almost felt a weight lift. There was already a weight lifted because I didn't have to go to work and deal with that kind of bullshit. Not that my work is bad, really bad bullshit. It's just, I'm kind of over and done with it. I'm ready for something else. That isn't working for another company. Just trying to figure my path out. And it's slowly forming, but it's still frustrating not knowing what to do. Or not that I don't know what to do. I know I'm supposed to be waiting right now, and it's really irritating. I don't like it. I don't like it. But good things come to those who wait, and I have learned this lesson over and over and over again. But yeah. Left for the weekend and just felt so good to not be connected to anything. The only thing closest to really being able to go online was this cafe, but you had to go pay for Wi-Fi, and fuck that. I'm not paying for Wi-Fi. I already pay for Wi-Fi at home, and my Wi-Fi here barely works anyway. It's so crap. I constantly use my data instead. So yeah, that was really nice to just peace out for a while. And then I want to come home and share everything in one go, but I don't want to share everything at once and everything at all. You know? Gotta leave room for everybody else's minds to wander and to inspire to get out and do it yourself. And that is also why I choose not to film my podcasts or anything. I've tried before. I've tried doing that. And, you know, it's fun, but everybody does it. And I kind of want you guys to use your imaginations. Seems like people have forgotten to use those. And it's kind of sad because we must see everything instantly.
and have the instant gratification and satisfaction of our dopamine hits without even having to leave the bed or the couch or wherever we are. And we need to humble ourselves and be reminded that that is not how the natural world works. Not at all. So yeah, I'm home now and everything just feels like I came back, I took a step back into reality, and I'm just like, oh, I forgot how upset I am at everything. Or, you know, not that I wasn't upset on my trip, it's just some things get subsided. You know what I mean? You know what I mean. And then I go back to work, and I'm just like, oh yeah, this is why I feel fucking crazy here. And I'm sure everybody has felt like this at one point in their lives, or will, if not now. We're all in this together, dying slowly. Damn, that was dark. I mean, we are dying slowly. It's the point of life. Life is just the path to death, and death is the path to life. It's the circle of life. What a fool. I don't really know where I was going with the whole end of this, but I just kind of wanted to recap and let everybody know I survived, so. Here we are. And I have now completed, I think, for the most part, the last biggest trip I had planned for the summer. Next to Iceland. Iceland is now my focus, I guess. I mean, it's been my focus for months, but I really haven't given it all. It's like, I can't plan all of this so far in advance. It's just like not there. And I don't want to be so full in the future that I don't know what's going on now. I mean, I already have a hard time like feeling and figuring out what is going on now. Like trying to relate to my friends what I've been up to all summer, the ones that I don't get to see every day. It's just like, you know, when you get that question, you're just like, oh, fuck. I actually have to sit and think about what I've done. Because right now, my answer is, nothing. When I sit down and think about it, I'm like, holy shit, we're in August. Yeah, what have I been doing? Yeah, I went for a trip, a really spontaneous trip across the border in May. Came back, did like a camp rave with a bunch of Frenchies, which I don't think is an adventure I've shared yet. But I did a bush rave with a bunch of Quebecers. And then, man, what else happened? I feel like something else happened too. There was like another camping trip after that where we went out to Sugar Lake, I think. And then all the festivals were happening and I went to the beach a lot. I made my own jams, experimenting with stuff. And I went for a float down the river, which I know I said was going to be the next episode and I teased it a little, but it'll be an episode in the future. I'm not going to say it's next episode again because I could forget. I've seen a good handful of movies too, actually. Damn. I don't know. The summer's been filling itself up. Like, I haven't been the most committal to things in the way of me planning them out and then doing them. Like, I've kind of just, like, let my stuff open and the first person or whoever asks me to do something, I'll decide if I want to do it or not, and then I'll... My week fills up real fast, and I've noticed that. So whenever I sit here and think about how people don't like me or don't do anything, it's such bullshit. I gotta call myself out on it. So, yeah. I'm really excited to put some more thought into Iceland and actually start packing it and getting ready, because that is in... It's just around the corner. I actually can't believe it. And when I think about it, I get kind of anxious and stressed out. And, like, people, they do keep looking at me and they're like, are you excited for your trip? And I'm just like, yeah, I am. But also, like, they're like, you don't seem like, it's like, well, I have so many things actually happening, like, right now and in the near future that Iceland is still 4 weeks away. And yes, it is right around the corner. I am reminded of that myself. But it's just like, why do people, like, I get that for you, you'd be acting this way, but, you know, there's so many, like, I don't know how to explain it. It almost gets really irritating. Like, people are like, you should be excited about this, or you have something to look forward to. And especially how I've been feeling lately, like, kind of irritated, stressed out, frustrated. And, I mean, I'm happy I have these things to look forward to, but it just really irritates me when I am trying to talk to somebody, and they're like, well, at least you have this happening. It's like a band-aid over the problem. Like, I know this isn't going to solve and fix my problems. So stop telling me to look forward to that. Like, it is something I'm looking forward to. It's just, it's not going to solve the problem I have right now. And it won't solve it then either. Like, I understand where people are coming from. It's just, it's kind of irritating. It's my hot take, though. So, just trying to be polite and be like, I know where you're coming from with this. I'm tired of that being said to me when I'm just trying to express my feelings. Or, you know, I feel like a volcano. I keep saying in, like, not in anything in particular, but I keep, like, thinking to myself how I feel like I'm transitioning from a waterfall phase to a volcano era. Don't get me wrong, I used to be, like, obsessed with volcanoes when I was, like, 10. Like, anything, I was a hella tomboy too growing up. Like, I just loved learning about dinosaurs and, I don't know, rocks and science. I fucking love science, man. I fucking love science. Science is the bomb.com. Like, science is magic, actually. And magic is science. And it doesn't have to make sense at all. It's literally a scientist's job to continuously ask questions and to test theories, which is magical as fuck. But I feel like a volcano. Just within my own, I know this isn't really something I totally get into with my podcast a lot, and I actually think I'm going to start a second series. It's one of the first inspirations, and I think I've explained it a little bit here and there, but so I, like, voice note a lot of my thoughts because I can't keep up with writing them out or typing it. And I just like to talk it out into my voice notes. And so I've thought about making, like, a subscription thing. And you can listen to my thoughts. I want to call it, like, high thoughts. Some of them I have had while I've been super baked, or like, I'm having epiphanies on, like, a mushroom trip or something. But a good portion of it, they're, like, totally sober high thoughts. And I've listened to them, like, play it back sometimes, and man, that shit hits hard. It's like if you read an old journal. If you journal, have you ever gone back and read it? That shit is it's a ride, depending on what you use your journal for. But speaking from my experience, when I read my journal from when I was not in a really great place and was starting to use that more to help me get out of it, I can't lie, it's heartbreaking. I cry reading that. And it's just interesting listening back into my voice notes, the things I've learned I kind of sound like a wizard. So, I don't know, I thought that and was like, oh, well, I don't want to just share it all to the entire universe, but for those who genuinely are curious, I mean, have at it. I think that'd be kind of fun. So we'll see, we'll see. But I guess this is kind of a glimpse into it. So when I started the year, I had a lot of ambitions and goals, and like, you know, I just wanted to have a list of things and try to do different. And this year has definitely shaped out to be very unexpected. And like, I realized that I've gotten a lot better with my intuition. I've just been following it. Even if it's something, you know, I have this goal to do this, but I don't necessarily feel aligned to try and make that happen right now. I'm not going to force it. I haven't. Like, for example, Liz can relate to this too. We both had a goal of running a 5K marathon this summer. However, compared to last summer or a spring, I haven't been running. And I took a great interest in running last spring, summer, until it got too hot and I thought I was going to die if I stepped outside, which has been a common theme this year as well. But I just didn't, I did try running and I just didn't get into it again like this, like last year. And so the 5K has slowly faded away. And so of a lot of other things that I tried to do, like I was doing color theory for a while, and I'm going to get back into that, but I don't think these things just happen for no reason, you know? I've come to learn that, not that I've been diagnosed, but I definitely have like ADHD brain, or, you know, just straight up ADHD, because I can't just focus on one thing. I cycle between many things, and until I really get a grasp of how things make me feel, I won't incorporate it into a normal routine. And my environment definitely affects how I do these things. And so for the last several months, I've been in a way forced to be present but extremely observant. So I've like almost pulled myself. I don't know how to describe it. I can envision it. It's like, imagine you're standing here. Your physical body is wherever your physical body is. And then in your mind, step outside of your body and become aware of where you are, who you're connecting with, who you're surrounding yourself with, your environment, and the environments in which you travel to every day or interact with every day, every other day. Notice how and who is the same and what is different, and the patterns. That's what I've been doing. It's just what I've felt intuitively I needed to do, and lots of changes are happening and emotions are being provoked and triggered, and sometimes it feels really crazy, like I don't know what I'm feeling or why I'm feeling it, or I feel it and I understand but I don't know what to do with it. It's kind of where I'm at right now, and I recognize that I'm angry. And I've been doing really good with keeping my chill, but anger is not a bad emotion to feel. It is igniting, you know, it, anger and frustration and sadness are action emotions. They're the only emotions that really provoke change. If you feel them and let yourself move through them. And I haven't really been super clear on why I've been feeling these things, but because I've taken myself out of just like one coherent reality. I've placed myself in many different awarenesses, I guess. I don't know. I sound crazy, Maybe I am. I do. I am crazy. I'll just go with that one. But things are changing, and I've been wanting that. It's just conveying it and acting on the emotion in an appropriate way. And because of things that have happened in my past that I've been traumatized from and have been working through, it's been very difficult. I think it's the most difficult in my mind, because that's really everything. Everything is within the mind. And I have a great deal of empathy, and being able to put myself in the other person's shoes and where someone else is at, like, I understand this and that. And so if I was to reverse the feeling and the effect, it's just like, it shifts the perspective. I'm like, oh, do I actually really need to get mad about this? But the answer sometimes is yes. And you have a right to feel that and to say something, because, you know, just as much as you are co-creating this life, that's just it. You're co-creating. It's not one thing. You are also a part of this. So have some authority. And this is where I'm putting myself. I'm trying to figure out how to do that. I know I can be very authoritative and very, I don't know what the word is, but I guess bossy. I used to boss kids around at the playground when I was little. My mom would tell me that I was just a bossy little girl. I don't, like, I'm very much an avoidant person when it comes to problems. I'm working on that. So, telling people how I'm feeling when it's, like, all across the board, I feel like I'm really easy to read in cases of when I'm really happy. But I've almost gotten really good at portraying my happiness and taking things very lightheartedly, that I have forgotten to feel my anger and frustration and the power that that also has. And so right now I'm finding it difficult to, I guess, really step into that as well and have people see that I can take things seriously as much as I can take them not seriously. And I don't tend to take things seriously, because honestly, most of the shit in life that we all take so seriously really doesn't need to be. And the things that need to be taken seriously are not taken seriously enough. And it's frustrating. So yeah, that's what's going on in my brain right now. It's driving me kind of crazy. But what I was saying is, the beginning of the year, my color that I just really attached myself to was red, and I didn't quite understand that. And I was like, oh, all right. So I did my color theory on that. And red can be, it's a color I've never really connected with, first of all. So that was really surprising to me, coming into this year with red. And red is bold, powerful, sexy. It's passion. It's love. But it's also power, and it can be anger. It can be looked at as a negative emotion color. And you know what? I've realized that with all of the colors, but some colors have more impactful, I guess more of a, depending on the person, like your attachment to that color, how it makes you feel, it invokes different emotions across the board to different people. But I've always looked at red as like being angry in a power kind of color. And then one day I put on, like, Nicholas has these color therapy glasses and he has these red ones. And I put them on and I was wearing them and I was like, you know, it's not that bad. Like, I have the ability to choose what I'm assigning this color. So that's what got me really into the color theory that I've taken a break on. Sometimes I overstack my plate, and this is also what I mean by I go in cycles of doing different things, and that's just how it works for me. I do what feels good, and I really involve myself in the thing that I'm feeling passionate about in that moment, and it leads me into learning so many other different things. It's just like this domino effect of, I don't know, if I'm looking up this thing, I'm like, oh, okay, I'm interested in this now. And then it just becomes like this rabbit hole of things that I had no idea I was ever going to look up or need to know ever. But now I do. And I've also been feeling kind of blue lately. Just hints of it. Red is still the forefront color here, and I strongly believe it has to do with me confronting a lot of things within and using, like, turning that into a different source. And so I'm, like, navigating waters, different waters. And where I'm connecting this with how I feel like a volcano, and I'm moving on from waterfalls to volcanoes because of these cycles I go in. I go in from hot to cold, hot to cold. What pops into my mind when I think of that? Iceland. Iceland is the land of fire and ice. I think there's a misconception that it is... there's no Iceland, like, in Iceland, because when we were all learning the maps, they named Greenland, and they named Iceland, but Iceland doesn't have all the ice, and Greenland is covered in ice, so no green, when in fact Iceland literally has both. It's got everything. Another thing, in my spiritual journey, I don't know if you, like, look up things when you see them, but a huge, like, constant for me has been dragon energy lately. And what a dragon symbolizes, like, you know, it's legend. It's also leadership and luck. And it's like this, it's almost as the hero's journey. I recommend looking all this stuff up. I can't quite explain what it is because I'm still kind of learning too what it means, but what I have gathered is dragon energy is leader energy, and the good leaders, the best leaders in the world, are always the ones that go unnamed. People don't know them. You know, look up Lao Tzu, Confucius and Lao Tzu in Chinese Taoism literature and practice. Confucius set out to find this man, Lao Tzu, and I can't remember what it was. He was going to offer him advice or just talk to him because this man just knows things, and he met Lao Tzu and spoke with him, and he could not offer him any advice. And when his comrades asked him what he had said to Lao Tzu, he said something along the lines of, how could I possibly offer him? I think I met a dragon. Like, today I met a dragon. And just like, yeah, you know, I feel that. I know that I could be a good leader. And I feel very unseen right now, but also I'm okay with that to a degree. Like, I like to be acknowledged for what I do and appreciated. And this is where I'm getting angry with a lot of things. Like, I just feel like people really take me for granted. And because I feel like people are taking me for granted, it's in turn made me think about what I'm taking for granted. So now I'm trying to do better with voicing my thoughts and feelings to people. Because how are people going to change and do anything differently if you don't express that, right? Like, as much as we all like to think we're mind readers, we are not mind readers. So I'm trying to voice my opinion more, a little bit more, but still also be observant and take in everything. Because I think it's just as important to be a good listener as it is to be a good talker. Thing is I don't think there is as many good listeners. There's a lot of people who like to talk and talk and talk, but there's not a lot of people who like to listen. And for the people who I would categorize as the therapy friends, the ones who listen but don't really feel like they have any of those people themselves to talk to, I feel that. I am there with you because I am that person. And it's exhausting. But you know what? It really shapes us. It shapes our character. And the ones, the real ones, they make it known. And you become very aware of the real ones. And I would rather have a small, tight-knit community versus the whole world. I don't need the whole world. I really just need myself at the end of the day, but I don't want myself. I want other people because I'm human. And humanness is about life and the cycle and circle of it. And we come right back to square one. It's mind-boggling and it fucking trips me out all the time. So I feel like I'm a volcano that's ready to explode. And as I was explaining earlier, like, in this episode, when I was reading about, like, the eruptions and then the glacier period and how the land looks like it is today, these are periods in which are forming with my character. We are so much like nature, dare I say, because we are nature. We are a part of this ecosystem and we are alive, but man, you just look at ecosystems and just how things work. We really do operate the same. We need good soil environment to live. And it's all, everybody's got a different environment and a different soil to their pH and their plant, you know? And then just like the earth, it takes time to develop who we are and understand what we are, who we are, the innerness. We're like the landscape, the geological landscape of the world. It's crazy. And the earth is made up of what? 90% water, 80% water? I don't know what the statistic is right now. But bro, our bodies, our vessels are the same. We are 70 to 80% water. Water is source. Water is what, like, literally, it's so simple and powerful. It's fucking nuts. You ever just think about water on its own? Like, get a cup, whatever, fill it with water, look at it. Do you feel scared of that? How does it make you feel? Because in a small glass, it looks, you know, basic. I'm gonna drink it, it's gonna be gone into my body, which will be then absorbed through other things in my body. Things in my body. And it's just what fuels us. I was having this conversation with my roommate about how, I don't think it was really a conversation, it was more of a statement, but I said something about how water was alive and he said it wasn't. Which, Nicholas, it is alive. There's a study, I can't remember his name, but some Japanese man did like a water
frozen water molecule test. Like, if you say nice things and say negative things, the molecule structure will turn out different, like vastly different. The positive saying, the crystalline structures were like beautiful, snowflakey, just these cool geometric patterns. But the negative ones, it was just very ugly. There wasn't any pattern or structure to it. It was just like a glob. I don't know how to describe it, but like, look it up. It's fascinating. And I do think there is such thing as dead water, of course, but water is alive. It's what brings us alive. And if you're drinking dead water, you're going to feel like a dead body. You're not going to feel as inspired. You know, there's this one point where I was really into water. Everybody who's been following me for a while knows about that. And it's very true. Like, I learned so much doing that, but it is very, very true of how water shapes us. And it doesn't just shape and contort us, you know, it affects our health in so many ways. Just like sleep. Like, we're all just a bunch of chemical reactions when you put it down to it. But water is our source. It's what keeps us alive. And if we didn't have water on this planet, we would look like Mars. Mars is our dead cousin. Like, you know? It's so wild. So fucking crazy. And that's what I mean by I feel kind of like a volcano. I'm going through all the things, but sometimes you gotta erupt your life a little bit to make new creations. This world would not look the way it looked if we didn't have tectonic plates and all this shit happening. We wouldn't have mountains. We didn't have earthquakes. We wouldn't have mountains. We wouldn't have volcanoes. We wouldn't have lakes. We wouldn't have the things that are. And it is. It just is. We just are. But we're constantly going through some kind of motion here. There's change, magic. There's reactions happening all the time. So what I'm trying to say is life is confusing, but it's beautiful. Even when it's ugly. And it's just something I need to remind myself and say to myself very often. So that's kind of a glimpse into my head. And what I would hope to one day put out is high thoughts with A. So tell me what you think, I guess. I'm going to end it here. I hope you learned something. I know I didn't give, like, this is your fact of the day. But you know what? I think I threw some facts in there all throughout this. This is going to be definitely very interesting to edit. I'll see you in the next adventure. Thanks for coming along. And if you didn't already know, you can donate or subscribe, I think. I don't really know how it works, to be honest. We're just going with it. We're just trying shit out to try shit out. But if you do, I'll shout you out. I'll say your name. And I'll say it wrong if you want me to say it wrong. Or I'll say it wrong by accident. Maybe I say it right. Maybe it's your dog. I don't fucking know. It could be a rock. If it's a rock, that rocks. I think that's it. Thanks for letting me kind of vent and listening to me vent. And if you didn't listen, then that's also cool. But I'll see you in the next episode. Love ya. Bye.